G'day everybody and welcome to this episode of the Peter Maxwell Slattery Show, and today's guest is Brad Thornton. How you going, Brad?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Thank you for being on the show. Now, to the listeners and viewers, the voice might just be a little weird echo. We've tried everything. Having experiences together, it doesn't help as well because you get a bit of electronic interference, but it should be listenable anyway. So, yeah, we'll get on with it. Now, Brad, you're one of the support contacts for ACERN, which Mary Rodwell is the principal of, and also you're an experiencer, not just with otherworldly beings, but with MyLab as well.
That's correct, yes.
Would you like to go into how, I guess, this sort of started to be revealed to you? Because it's different for everyone, a little bit different, and yet there's a lot to it. You know, we could probably talk for a few days, like all experiences can, about how, the nitty-gritty type bits, but could you sort of give us a quick overview, if you can, sort of the main highlights of how things were sort of, you know, this reality was, you know, revealed to you?
Okay. I guess, it all started in around June to 2009. I started to have memories come back of being in a training camp when I was a child. The two main people that I interacted with were European. They told me how they have a device. Well, this is back in the 70s. They had a device that was attached to a helicopter, and they could scan for specific DNA frequency, and the frequency would become prevalent in around the age of 7 to 8 year olds, and if they found that within the children, they would take them for, would use them for their own means for training. What I found was that the DNA has abilities, and that DNA with that certain frequency has certain abilities that they can use for their own advantages. And they become, I guess the military became aware of this in the late 40s when, I guess as a result of Project Paperclip, when they brought over the Nazi scientists and they realised that they could use, you know, that to their advantage. The MK Ultra.
Yeah,
mind,
yep.
Control.
Yep. Mind control, yeah.
Yeah. So memories started to return of missions I'd been on, names of people, places, underground bases, and as I started to talk about them, my life changed.
Now, these experiences were taking place in Australia.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Most of them. Some missions were actually in other countries.
All right, yep.
Yep.
Sweet. I just wanted to get that out there, so because a lot of people just think it's in America or the UK sort of thing. This is, yeah, just wanted to highlight that. Yeah, sorry, go on, mate.
So the more I started to talk about it, that's when the harassment started. And it happened in many forms. So,
and this was military harassment?
Military and towards the end, it was other beings that worked for the military.
Yep. Cool.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
No, you're all right. That's fine.
And look, these beings I hadn't met up until the time that memory started to come back. So and that's when my life changed. The lady I was with, she started to change, and that's when I became aware of that each MyLab has a programmer and a controller, and a controller usually is someone that's close to them. So the changes that I saw happening in my partner at the time, towards the end, if I mentioned certain keywords, she would then repeat a string of words, like a recorded loop of sentences.
Trippy, yep.
Yep. So I could see that something was happening, and she started saying things that she would not normally say. One of the things was, I like getting kids when they're young so I can program them.
Well, that's scary and freaky, isn't it?
Yeah. But one day I really pushed it, and finally she said, if you don't shut up, we will send you in for reprogramming. And so I left her a few days, and I said to her, you know, what did you mean when you said, if I didn't shut up, we would send you in for reprogramming? And she said, I never said that. So she had no conscious memory of what she had said. But what I also saw happening was she was then programming my daughter to create separation between myself and my daughter. And
so this lady you're talking about, she's your girlfriend or wife?
Ex-partner.
Ex-partner, all right, yep.
Yep. Sorry, I'm trying to keep it all in
no, time, it's all right, mate. Yeah, I know it's hard. It's like it's there's a lot to place. It. Yeah, it's fine, mate. It's fine.
Yep. So I became friends with another well-known monarch survivor on Facebook. And I said to her, look, you know, I've been involved in a few things. I'll send you through some information. And anyway, that night I had two warnings. And the second warning was a guy in a brown robe with a black sash. He had short, dark hair. He walked up to me and said, we're going to get you. And I said, well, no, you won't. And so about 6 months later, I was at work, and I was a supervisor for a lawn and garden care company. And I walked out to get some petrol for the lawnmower, and there was no one around. So I got petrol, I was pouring petrol into the lawnmower, and as I stood up, the guy that had said to me, we're going to get you, was standing right beside me. And without even thinking, the first words that came out of my mouth was, I know you. And what I noticed with this guy was, around his right wrist he had a tattoo of alien symbols, like alien writing.
Yeah.
And so I knew who he was.
So this dude looked human, he didn't look extraterrestrial or...
No, he looked human.
Yeah, but you think he was extraterrestrial?
Yeah, I'll get to it.
Yeah, cool.
So I thought, I'll humour this guy. I couldn't really say too much because I didn't want my workmates to think I was, you know, weird. So I was talking to him for a while and I said to him, you know, where are you from? He said he was from Gosford. I said, well, where are you going to? And he said, Newcastle. And I was standing, he was standing off to my left, and he was probably about 6 foot away. And I could see, looking at a full profile view of him, I could see that his whole body was vibrating up and down by about that much. So it was vibrating like this.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying, yeah.
And the second, within 5 seconds of seeing that, his demeanour changed. Well, actually, sorry, he said his name was Julio, and I used to wear a photo ID on my shirt, and it was only him and another lady that near ripped my ID off my shirt to have a look at it. Within five seconds of seeing him vibrating up and down, his demeanour changed from happy to look to be fearful, and he said, oh, I'll just keep doing what you're doing, I've got to go, and he left. So I don't know if he was just a hologram or if he was another being that was making himself look like a human. But I never saw him again after that.
It's hard to tell with that type of thing, and they're sort of the things you would look at, is either a hologram or is it a being that's vibrating in and out, that's brought us, you know, it's more dense because it's usually less dense, so it's, you know, made itself thicker. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, the hologram projection, who knows, it could be made to appear like that. I guess it's one of those things where you're just sort of left wondering because, well, they've got the type of, like, the governments have got this, or really the government behind the government have got these technologies to do this type of thing because they've got extraterrestrial technology, so they can do basically what the ETs can.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Because they're with them. Or some of them are anyway. Now that's pretty weird. So how's the interact? Like, did you in time? Like, obviously you got the MyLab experiences, and then you got the interactions with other beings. How did they come and go? Sort of, was it more heavy with the MyLab stuff, or was there interactions with these other beings in between it, or was it? You know, was it more MyLab stuff or more ET sort of interactions that you're getting, or did it build up ET later?
Around, I'd say, late 2009 to late 2011, there was an increase in beings, but also the military as well. So the harassment became increased the more I didn't shut up.
And it's still increased?
It's very little now, and there's a reason for that, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. I just find that interesting because my like experiences with the military abductions, they've gone from 2010 up to basically, I'd say, about the first quarter of this year. And the interactions with the otherworldly beings started around the end of 2011. I've had a lot before then, but it's like recollection stuff. But full contact has gone since late 2011, continuing up to now. So the military activities died down a lot.
Yeah. The reason that it's not as bad now is because leading up to, I was recommended a lady that could look at what was happening with me and my wife. And what she saw and what happened actually fixed the problem. Because I actually got to the beings that are behind the MyLab, behind the government, and behind the controllers of the planet. Did you want me to talk about more about the harassment of the MyLab staff, or?
What we'll do, because that just got me then, was the beings behind, like, who are basically, I guess, controlling and manipulating behind the scenes. And I've had experiences myself with 3 different races of reptilians. One of them was not too bad. They told me that they need basically to ascend themselves because they're not going anywhere and they're trying to break off from the mainframe of how things are ran. I'll see how your personality is. People who know me well, I call them the reptilian dildo bangers because we're getting screwed by them and we don't even realise it. So, people who know me well know that I say that all the time. But that's sort of, I know that there's an archonic nature behind them, and recently to myself, it appears to me as if, I know that all reptilians aren't bad, but to me, and it may sound stupid, it may resonate, it may not, but something has come to me as in, I feel that the reptilians aren't bad. I feel like what's happened is they're actually possessed by the archons.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like as if they can use that body, the body computer of the reptilian to work down the dimension again. I don't know if that sort of resonates with you, because I've had experiences straight up with the Archons. They come in many different forms, like black shadows, defaulted, demented fetus-looking things. I've even got a photo up on my website of that. So, yeah, I'd like to see what you've got to say sort of behind that, because I haven't got so much recollection of behind the scenes with the military and them, but I've got 3 distinct experiences with reptilians that I can remember full on, but I just don't know much more behind that besides what's been shown to me by the Orions and others.
Okay. It's interesting you bring up the reptilians, because I have the same feelings about them. There's ones that are wanting to move to a higher level of consciousness, and there's ones that aren't. I've had interactions with both. But the beings that are behind I met them. I'll explain how it happens. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Go. Yep.
Yeah, about 5 years ago, around January, I woke up early as one morning, and it was dark. I looked around, saw my girlfriend there, but as soon as I closed my eyes, I could see the stars. Just like looking at stars.
Yeah, yeah.
And like full high definition, you know. This would happen about 3 nights a week. Same thing, I'd wake up early hours in the morning, close my eyes, I could see the stars. A different star pattern from what, you know, we see around here. So I knew that it must have been somewhere else. And after about a month, I finally plucked up enough courage because I thought, I've got to be inside something. And so I plucked up enough courage to turn around and look behind me. And I could see I was inside a spacecraft. I could see the screen, which was behind above me. I could see the screens below me. So over that period of time, I've woken up on board big motherships, smaller craft. I've woken up in rooms with military and other beings. And one of the craft I woke up on was a reptilian ship. There was 3 seats. You know, the middle seat was empty, but there was a reptilian being on the one on the right. But I didn't feel any bad from that being. But one of the events was in 2011 that I woke up and I was actually in a craft that was flying up to this massive big ship, and I've never seen this design of craft before, and it was just out of the Earth's atmosphere. Kind of shaped kind of like that, but underneath was the undercarriage where you'd have your view, like your control deck and all that sort of thing. And this thing was massive, it was black, it's like it absorbed
underneath,
a lot.
Underneath, I've got photos and stuff with the same stuff. I've even said it on sunrises, I've seen crafts come over. And they're sort of chromey, you know, the reflection sort of look on top. Underneath looks like space. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
I've seen similar stuff, man. Yeah, that's trippy.
Yep. So I'd seen that a couple of times. And anyway, sort of moving ahead, I was recommended to see this lady and went through a healing process. And what she saw... it's not so much through intuition, it's like she lives into a different reality or realm. She saw a direct connection to that craft into my crown chakra. There was metal rings, one was around my pituitary gland, there was one around my pineal gland. There was some... And they were there to stop the shift in consciousness. So I could only...
So they were sort of like blockers.
Yep. Now, I know it sounds weird, but once they were removed through that process, the attacks stopped to a point. There were still some attacks.
Doesn't sound weird to me. I know what you're talking about, so
So I went back to the lady a few days later. I said, look, there's still something. And she re-looked and she saw that these beings had created holographic bodies of myself and my wife, and they were using those holographic bodies to interact with these physical bodies.
I've heard similar stuff, man. It's just trippy stuff, isn't it?
It is. And this lady was actually able to communicate with one of the beings. And she said they had like a hammerhead head. It was like wide. And they said to her, he said to her was they weren't happy because they'd been controlling me for a long time. And looking back at it, every long-term partner that I've had, I'd always dreamt about a month before. So I knew they were coming. And I realise now it's because they were actually put there to because each relationship was controlling.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and they weren't happy because my wife had come along and she was the game changer. So, and that's why when she came into my, I guess when we crossed paths, that that's when she started seeing these beings show up in the bedroom at night.
Now, the ones you were just referring to, like the hammerhead type beings, like with the head, weird heads,
mm-hmm.
do you know what the hell they are? Or they're just one of the ones behind the scenes that are basically...
They're the ones that have been, yeah, they've been behind the scenes for a long time. The feeling that I had when I first saw these beings was they hadn't been in this close to Earth for a long time, like a really long time. I saw, when I was up there, I saw at least six of these big craft that were sort of in an arc around the Earth. But they absorbed the light, so I don't know how, you know, it'd be hard to see them from here.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's, yeah, no, it's, I know what you're saying, like that. There's been, it's, I've seen crafts that sort of look like mist coming off a hot road, and other people with me just can't see it. It's like they're there enough that I can notice more. Maybe it might be me, my frequency, I can just pick them up. But, yeah, like it's the light, you can still see everything through them. Unless you sort of know what you're looking for, you're in tune, it's just you're not going to, no chance in hell you're going to pick them up.
Yeah, look, there's been many times where I used to live in Newcastle, overnight I just get the feeling to go out and have a look at the stars, and so I'm looking up at the stars and I couldn't see anything. Well, there was a craft that was probably, would have been about 200 metres away from me. Couldn't see it unless it moved, and then I could see a green shimmer around the edge of the craft. Well, it floated from, it was north of me, it floated actually above me and then just above my house. And I could see underneath, I could see the dome, like three dome spheres that were around it. It was black. It was there for about 10, 15 minutes and, you know, I finally went back inside.
Anything happen after that? Or just normal night? Finally get tired and go to bed, or
yeah, I think it was just a normal night.
Yeah,
all I can remember.
Yeah,
but I have seen that craft around many other times in different places as well.
Has there been any sort of psychic or download or connection with? In the craft at all, like later experiences that you've had with that craft?
Yeah. They've shared information with me. Earlier this year, I was at work and I was doing a split shift, so, you know, I had a bit of a rest in the car between shifts. And the next thing I know, I can hear this loud metallic noise. I couldn't move. And at first I thought it was an attack, but after a couple of seconds I relaxed. But what I could see, I had my eyes closed, but I could see the energy patterns that were associated with this, I guess, beam of energy. And I was taken somewhere else. I still had my eyes closed, but I could hear a male voice beside me on my right-hand side. And he was telling me that it's the technology that they use to transport people from, you know, onto the craft or objects is a theta. It's a multi-wave system. It's a theta multi-wave. So the theta level, and then there's three or four waves of within that.
So what does that make you less dense? Able to pull you up, like have you got any idea how that the science, I guess, is so far advanced, sort of, we're not going to get it fully, but have you sort of got a basic understanding in layman's terms how it operates?
Yep, they have a device that can amplify thought, because brainwave is like theta. They can amplify thought to the point where it actually affects matter.
Yeah, well, I guess if you affect it, does it affect it by vibration?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
When it affects it, like basically you could go through walls, you could go through bloody anything if you're vibrating at a high or even, like, I don't know, a lower rate, but just by, you know, over the top of my head here, but yeah, so that's how it works. It basically gives it something, a different vibrational frequency, raise it, and bloody anything can happen then.
Yeah. It's not the first time I've experienced that metallic noise.
What? Yeah. How to you, would it be a variation in range of tones from very, very, very high pitch to very, very, very low? Almost
yes.
Rumble, yeah.
Yep. So... Okay, keep going. Ask some more questions.
No, that's all right. What other types of technology have you come across, like, or information or any that type of thing has been exposed to you or you've been able to sort of glean from the experiences?
Okay. The Arcturians took me on board one of their craft. This happened a few years ago, but one of them, he told me how they bend the light around their craft and it makes them invisible. And it's like grabbing the fabric of light and just pulling it around the craft. That's the best way to explain it. But it makes it invisible to see, but also to feel. So,
what type of, any idea of technology, if that's got to do with the anti-grav field around the craft?
Or they can also do it to themselves.
All right.
Because they took me to... out to the main street of Charlestown, and we were walking around amongst people, and they said to me, we can also make ourselves invisible by, so it's some type of technology that they have.
Was this something that they kept on them to do it individually as a person, and then there was something for the craft that did it for that?
I think so, because where we weren't near the craft at that time. Another one of the Arcturians said to me, people of Earth kill too many animals. Another one said, always ask the important questions. Inside their craft, the lighting was like a pale blue and a pale white.
Everything, all the walls and floor and ceiling were?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
The same stuff with, like, the Orion crafts. It's sort of a really light blue and a white light. And I think it's pulsating, but it's so quick that it sort of just looks like everything's emanating it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard of that on other... I've heard of it on other crafts sort of with Orions that's been brought to my attention, but not with that. Do these beings that you communicated with, were they basically like you or I? Was there, like, they were humanoid, human-looking beings?
They all looked... They look like brothers. They're all similar. Like they look. There was no real. Yeah, they all look like brothers. They look like.
Tell much difference if they're all next to one of you or me. You wouldn't be able to tell much difference.
No. Yeah. So they all looked the same. They all had. They looked like. They looked Greek. They had long, sort of shoulder length, dark, wavy hair.
Tribute.
Yeah.
Did they let you know why they're interacting with you and why they're here? Did they give you any information on that type of thing?
Yes. The connection that I've made, and that's also the connection with the MyLab as well, is if you're a starseed, you have DNA that's different, and it allows for... I guess, different abilities. like telepathic communication,
levitation,
yeah.
Same stuff with me, man. I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah. So, were you one of these dudes in your past life, and you're still like you've reincarnated down here, or is there something different with the connection with these beings for you?
It's weird because it's like I'm not connected to one particular race of being, but many, and I've just got to have the thought of I'd like to meet these beings, and within a couple of days I'll show up.
Well, it's weird because what I get now is I was Orion in my past life, and actually half of me is still there. As trippy as that's going to sound, viewers, you've got to get the books and hear other interviews on that, but what I've realised is I'm interacting with a lot of beings from Sirius, different ones from Orion, different ones from the Pleiades, and Andromedans. And what I get is that they recognise my being, my actual being. And it's like as if I've been them. Well, I have been. I've got memories of being in the Pleiades and Orion. But it's like as if they were all, who was actually interacting with me has been mates with me at other times. So it's like, a lot of people say to me, you know where you're from, and it's like, well, because they're complaining they don't know where they're from, and I said, well, if you really want to know where you're from, you're actually from God, because we're all one, so you go back further enough, we're all from the same thing. But, you know, like I say to them, it's not like the last past life. I said, you've had probably billions of them as things that you wouldn't even be able to fathom, and this is just another continuance. So I get what you're saying, and I'd say that sort of sounds like to me what's happening with you is that a lot of these dudes are like friends from you know them, so that's interesting. So what other races have you interacted with?
Well, the Andromedans, they took me on board one of their motherships, and the amount of love that they have is,
I know,
just,
you get blissed out, eh?
Yeah, it's like it's so thick you could swim through it. And we were talking about the Earth, and that most of the interaction has been about, most of the good interaction has been about the Earth and the potential of where, you know, the human race can go. So reptilians, greys, but there's different types of greys.
There are many different types. That's what people all think there's one, and it's like, hell, I know of it, more than eight of them. Easy.
So I've met ones that are greeny grey, ones that are bluey grey. One of the encounters I had was in Queensland, and it was a big, it was a disc-shaped craft. I was there with other people, and there was three of them, and I asked them, I said, are you guys Zetas? And they said, no, we're from out further. And where they were from started with A, but it was somewhere, and it was a long name, so it was A something. So one of them was the driver of the craft, if you like, the captain. I had another guy who was like a scientist, because he was taking blood samples, and I said, look, you can do that, that's fine, but no cutting, you know, don't cut me. And the other guy, not sure what his role was, but I remembered the female that was there, and how when they had left, the female had given them this, like a little statue or something, but they were playing with the density of her energy, and they could feel it through this, whatever they had given her, and these guys had a sense of humour.
I'd say nearly all of them do. If they're sort of a bit, they don't appear to, I'd say they would in their own way. Have you had... go on.
I actually met up with that lady later on at a conference that I was at, and she recognised me, and she sort of remembered you, and yeah, it clicked.
I had similar stuff like that, seeing people later on, I'll do a talk and I'll know them.
Yep.
Yeah, that's, yeah, trippy.
Beings that I don't know the names of, so
yeah.
Humanoids that are green, they look like a human body, but they've got no hair, it's like a spikes to the skin. I've met my original form, first form from Source, and that's a small being, white being, just pure love, purity. And I think the race of their being is called Nilskin. Just trying to think of all the other races.
Yeah, no, so yeah, it's like myself, there's just so many to cover. Has there been any indication of beings, grey or Nordic, that you've interacted with, which could be, and this is from my experiences, could be human from the future coming back?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, we've just met, we met a couple of days ago, and we've just talked now, and there's just too many similarities. Like, there's no such thing as a coincidence. Now, this is just trippy. I'll let you go on that mark from there.
All right, look, I was down in Gosford one day with my partner at the time. She had an appointment down there. And anyway, on the way back, I said, look, let's call in the McDonald's and get something to eat. Just walked through the door, and there was a Pleiadian woman standing there. And because what you've got to understand, once you meet these beings, you feel their energy and you know who they are.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So out of the whole group of people, I knew who she was.
Where was this, in a Macca's?
Yeah, Macca's at Gosford.
Pleiadian in Macca's, that's trippy. That's a story right there.
I know, and she wanted me to talk to her, and but my partner at the time wouldn't have understood because she was not into any of this sort of stuff. So the communication was telepathic, and it was a response to an answer or question that I had a little while before, because I felt so alone at that time, and even though I sort of knew who I was, but there was no, I'm thinking, where are you guys, you know, here all by myself. So what she said to me was, is we're here with you. And I wanted to talk to her some more, but, you know, we ordered the food and we left. But her energy was just so amazing.
Yeah, it's a bit lower than the Andromedans, but it's still giddy, it's blissful, and love. Very, like, yeah, people just aren't going to get it unless they've had it, because that's sort of one of my contacts too. There's two types that I've interacted with, which are human like you and I, and then there's the main contact is a girl named Shiji. But when I first met her, I asked her where she was from, and she said the Pleiades, and I said, whereabouts? And she said, you wouldn't understand. Well, months later, I found out she's from a star, the star Merope, and she's actually a light being. And now, telepathically, I'll get communications and I'll see her in that human form, because it's been physically in my place and other people have seen her too. So it's been physical most of the time, as in looks like a, you know, an average human lady, but bigger eyes. Now she'll communicate with that image in my third eye, or I'll see it as just this pure white light energy, which I was sort of hesitant coming out with that information, because I thought, who's going to believe something's from a bloody star, let alone looks like a pure white light energy? There's no neck, arms, legs. It's just like white, white light like that.
Yeah.
If you can understand what I'm saying.
Yep. Look, there's been many times of a night where the bedroom has just been white. Like, it's, open your eyes, it's pitch black, close your eyes, and it's white light, just so bright. Yeah.
Yeah, no, similar things, yeah. No, but the intensity is not blinding either.
No, it's just bright.
Yeah, similar with a lot of the crafts I've seen, a lot of the ones that I film are like that too. So, with the MyLab stuff, going back to that, would you like to go into, if you feel safe to do so, if you want to, going into the types of facilities you've been to and maybe the areas if you'd like to go to, and just sort of, I read from the thing that at a younger age they were sort of, it was like training camp sort of to for you to enhance your abilities. Can you go into maybe where these places were, what you were taught, the types of beings or people that were there, if you feel safe to do so?
Yeah, sure, not a problem. Look, when I was 7 years old, I had a dream of being outside this timber cabin. It was like a classroom inside. There was a desk, there was an old chalkboard, and I was able to walk through the wall, and I was able to walk through the table inside the room. That was when I was about seven.
That would be cool if you could do that around your house. Yeah, sorry, I had to chuck that in, yeah.
It would be. Anyway, in 2009, the memory started to come back, and in greater detail of this training camp. There was more buildings. The two Europeans that I had a lot of interaction with.
And that was male and female, weren't they?
Male and female, late 20s.
Did they seem like the sort of caretakers? Or yeah. Overseas, not overseas, but sort of keeping an eye on new children?
Yeah, yep. They knew a lot about the program. They were calling me by two names. I tried to escape a few times. And each time they would find me, they would just hold their hands up in front of them like this and walk straight towards me. They'd find me, even if I was hiding behind something.
So that you feel that they were sensing you that way?
Yeah.
Could you tell the environment, when you tried to run away, what sort of like environment were you in? Was it like, was there grass, trees?
It was bushland. There was snow there at the time. It was Australian bushland because of the, based on the trees that were surrounding this training camp. I'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, they had me walk up in front of this stage in front of all these other kids. They seemed to be like younger than what I was. And they mentioned one of the names that they called me, and I felt this intense energy come down through my crown chakra, and everything went black. So it was like taking a back seat to this body. So I couldn't see anything, all I could see was like a black energy curve. That's the first time I felt that energy. But I understand that the two names that they were calling me were the two created beings that they were using to, using my body.
All right. Did you ever interact with, or have you later on since interacted with any of the kids you could remember seeing from that joint?
I think I've interacted with at least one of them. October 2010, I woke up in excruciating abdominal pain. I thought it was my appendix. So went to the hospital, spent 3 days in the hospital. They didn't feed me because I was trying to work out if it was my appendix or not, or if it was something else. So after 3 days, I thought, bugger this. And I said to them, look, I feel fine, you know, when we go home. So the doctor booked me into a private hospital to have a procedure done, to just to make sure that it wasn't something else. I tell you, it was weird, right? I'm waiting. I've got one of those gowns on.
The hospital, you know, gowns?
Yeah, that you tie up at the back, and you've got nothing else on. And I couldn't tie it up at the back, so I tied it up at the side. Anyway, this nurse come down. She was in her 50s. And she said to me, oh, you haven't got it done up right. It's got to have done up at the back. So she's undone it. exposed my whole back and then pushed her whole body up against my back. And I thought, wow, okay.
Getting a bit involved.
Yeah, this is very close. Anyway, so I'm lying on the hospital bed waiting to go into the theatre, and the anaesthetist was talking to me. I had this very uneasy feeling about this anaesthetist. So I have the procedure, and I come out with extra stuff. Like I came out with this red mark on my hand. It was a red circle, about 1 to 2 millimeter in diameter. It looked like it had been like an insertion point. They put something into my hand, and I come out with like scratch marks over on my left arm where the vein is. So there was something that was done there that wasn't associated with the procedure. But when I was in the recovery, there was a guy there. He called my name, and I thought, okay, how do I know you? And he was one of the kids I went to school with in primary school. I hadn't seen him for at least 30 years. Yeah.
So was he one of the dudes too that you used to see at the MyLab training camp?
I feel that he was connected.
Connected to it, all right.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, that's trippy. Can you remember?
Oh, sorry, getting back to the camp. Yeah. So in 2000 and probably late 2009, I thought I'll use, Google Earth to try and find it. Because I kind of felt I knew where it was. So I used Google Earth and I found this little clearing at the Snowy Mountains. And so I zoomed in and there was a photo. And when I clicked on it, underneath it, there was an ad for ASIO. And it said, come and work for us. And I thought, okay, there's a photo out in the middle of nowhere.
And this is appearing.
Yeah. And I had a look at ASIO's website, and they clearly state that the only way that they advertise is through, like, Seek or My Career. So they don't advertise through other means. So I thought, okay, that's interesting.
ASIO, by the way, for anybody overseas, is the Australian Security, is it intelligence?
I think it is.
Organisation. Yeah, it's sort of like our version of the CIA, I think, or NSA, CIA, FBI all mixed together, I guess, something like that.
So other places that I have memories of being, I was taken to base of a mountain. There was gum trees around, so it was in Australia again. The car that I was in was a maroon XF Ford sedan, and the colour was an anniversary model, so it was about 87. We drove past the entrance to the underground base and drove up to like a little clearing, which was a car park. We walked back down and I was met at the entrance by an older man in a white Toyota Land Cruiser that was around the same age as the Ford. I was driven into the base. It was a rectangle-shaped entrance. There was cables and pipes on the right-hand side. I was driven in, and we drove for a little while, and the base, or this massive car park area underneath, opened up into like a big dome area. And there was trucks, there was cars.
So it was like a rectangle for a while, and then once you got far enough, it sort of just all, it was like one big-ass, huge dome room.
Yep. And the thing with most of these memories, you don't remember what happens in the middle, so...
Yeah, I know.
So I remembered being driven in there, and I remembered some doors, like some offices that were on the outside, and that's it. And then I remember being driven back out by the same guy.
Have you thought about going up to that area again, or is it just something you don't feel like you could do? Or I guess what would you even do when you got there? You might find the entrance and stuff, but unless you got a bloody heap of AK-47s in your own militia, you got, you know, this probably going to get taken and bullet put in the head or something. So yeah, it's just trippy, the detail and the area. So you've said to me that like some of the experiences had also been overseas.
That's correct. One of them, it was Iraq. I remember being on top of the building. It was hot. There was a slight wind. There was other members of the group I was with. They were behind me. We were dressed in like a black uniform, like a black combat uniform. And I was watching one of the missiles hit a target.
Does this feel like it was...
And that's all I remember of that one.
How long ago do you feel that was?
Another one was France. I was taken to like a village, and I remembered the name Trajet. And from there, I caught a train to two villages over. Don't know what happened there, but I come back with another girl. She was... she had long, straight, dark hair. She was a bit overweight. We walked down, I remember walking down steps to the train station and seeing the train. It had like three colours on the side of it, three stripes. And we went back to where it originally started. And so I had a look at Trajet and...
Can you hear me? Yeah, it's just cut out a little bit. I just wanted to say quickly, because... the computer went all weird when you started talking about Iraq too. Do you feel that was in the last, you know, around the first Gulf War continuing up to now, or do you feel like it was, the second Gulf War, do you feel like it was around the first? How long ago do you think that experience was in Iraq?
The first one.
The first one. All right, yep. That's trippy stuff. Is there any... While I'm just thinking of this too, do you feel like at all that you could, or I don't know if you've heard of this, I'd say you probably have, could be a super soldier?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because that shit's not tripped out to me, man. I know it's going to sound tripped out to a lot of people listening, but after what I've been through and seen, that stuff doesn't surprise me. I've talked to another one who's not anymore. I guess you never really know if you still are anymore. You know how it all works. You just don't know what projects and programs you're in. They can just, you know, put you on autopilot. So I just thought I'd ask that because it's just pointing to a lot of, you know, overseas operations. You're seeing military-type warfare. It sort of just is reminiscent of a couple of other stories too. Different from yours, but there's just these, you know, the commonality-type things.
Mm-hmm.
So, so I'll let you keep on going with that area.
Yeah, sure. Look, another one, and this is sort of more into the super salt, more of the memories that I had. I was at, there was an experiment that was taking place, and I was there as part of the team to stop it. It was somewhere, it was near a jungle, there was water, there was an aircraft carrier that was sort of more like anchored off not far. They were testing this. The device was mounted on top of a tank, and there was four guys, there was two guys on either side of this device. It was a spotlight, a big spotlight, but it was had a red beam. It was a particle beam weapon, and they were testing it on general infantry. What happened was there was four survivors, and they called them the four Zens. I got to meet one of them, and this guy was 20, around early 20s, but he looked to be like 80. So the effect from this weapon, it aged them
dramatically,
but it also gave them Zen powers because it accelerated their somehow accelerated the DNA abilities. I was taken into this room. It was a kind of like a clay type building. It was like Middle Eastern. And I was introduced to this guy, and one of the other military guys that were in there pulled a gun on me and tried to shoot me. But I focused energy onto that gun and actually melted it. And this is what sounds weird, but that's what happened.
So it wasn't like any X-Men sort of type of crap, but that was just what focus of thought and intent. And the focus was do something with that bloody gun, like whatever. And so that's how you feel that was done. You just thought, intent, energy, and that was the outcome.
Yep.
Yep.
London. Another one was London. I was at a train station, and I had to walk up like an escalator, and then that turned to the right, and that's, I walked along a bit, and there was a ticket collector there. Well, I watched the Centurions 2 movie, and they were filming at that actual train station. It was exact what you would have to do to leave was go up the escalator, turn right, and then there was a ticket collector.
So that was the spot.
Yeah. But I just want to go through a bit of the harassment and what had happened.
Yeah, well, I think the more you bring this type of thing out, like, not that any of us are safe, although that's sort of up to ourselves with our intent and embracing our abilities and doing what we can and asking beings to help clear us. But I think it's, as I've had said to me by some people really well known in the field, is to get it out there, because that's sort of what saved some people that I've spoken to. And with my military interactions, the helicopters, a lot of people have seen this shit with me, and I think it has saved my ass in some aspects of being public. Mm-hmm. So get what you want out there, mate. Definitely, this is the format to do it.
All right, sure. Okay, so late 2010 is when the harassment really increased. There was at least two attempts on my life. So there was one where I was taken out of my body. It was like I was going somewhere else. So I ended up in like Fallujah, because there was a military presence. There was a civilian military presence as well. And there was one of the civilians was singing this song about Fallujah. And then I was taken inside the house, and I saw super soldiers in the black uniforms. And so I sort of got back to, I guess, back home. It's hard to explain. It's like shifting back to. And then I was taken back out, and I was back inside that house, but those super soldiers were closer, and so I knew I had to leave again, so I left. But then I was taken to this room that was just all black, and I saw this guy who had long grey hair, and the moment that I saw him, I thought, oh shit, I knew that he was bad news, even though I don't know who he was, but I knew he was bad news. So he walked up to, or kind of ran up to me, and tried to throw this like an electrified net over me.
Now, how did he do that? Was it physical, or was it something that was done energy-wise?
It was in another reality. I wasn't asleep. I was actually taken to that place.
So was this like a parallel dimension, or like a parallel world, or
something like that? It was somewhere else. So the second he tried to get it on top of me, I actually fought, and just within seconds managed to get back into my body, or into the physical body.
In this realm?
Yeah, in this realm.
Yep.
Another one was, I was approached by two people. One was an Asian guy, an Asian woman, short hair. There was a guy with short blonde curly hair. And they tried to tell me that they were from, you know, some company. And I said, look, I know you're lying. And eventually the woman said to me, they're from an agency that gets sent out. And she said, the reason is, she said, people are waking up to what they've been involved in. And she said, so we get sent out to kill them. And she showed me some yellow paper. It had my name, it had the project name, it had my file number, and underneath it had dates of different events that I was involved in.
Do you know what the project name was? Can you recollect that, or would you want to put that information out?
Look, the project was called, was either B-A-D for dog, A, so either Bata, or B-A-T for Tom, A. And I think that was related to the project where people were being abducted and traded for technology, and
I've been told about this from the other beings too, that this type of thing has occurred, yeah.
Yeah, so I've got memories of being involved in that
so what project. Happened after they showed you that paper?
Okay, so, but then the woman said to me, but, because she said that we get sent out to kill them, she said, but with you it's different. So she took me to what seemed to be a safe house. But then the other guy showed up with her, because he was still there to, you know, to kill me. So he showed up with a team. There was a few other guys. One of them that spoke to me was Russian. He had a Russian accent, but spoke English. He was thin, had a thin face. He had about 3 days' growth. And they were pissed off that they couldn't do what they were sent out to do. So there was some intervention from something else that stopped it happening. So I was standing to his right, and he had his hand, facing my heart, and he was speaking in Russian. And I said to him, you know, what's that about? And he said, oh, that's to ensure failure. So it was a type of curse.
Now that's trippy stuff. Have you come...
Yeah.
...had military helicopter activity?
Yeah, quite frequently.
Have you seen grey helicopters that are made out of one piece? They're sort of like a gunmetal grey.
A while back, and this was around the time that, you know, it'd be late 2009. It was a weekend, I could hear this helicopter, and it was hovering. And I'd planned to go out bike riding, but it was hovering. But as soon as I went outside and looked at it, it took off. It wasn't too far away from my house. And that was a grey helicopter.
So it wasn't close enough to see if it was made out of one piece? Or if it was stealthy looking?
It was quick. It was quicker than other helicopters.
Yeah. No, I just thought I've seen the black military type ones buzz around here. I got a photo of a grey one leaving. But this thing was weird ass noise.
They belong to the secret part of the Navy.
All right, yeah. Well, this was made out of, completely one piece of metal. Yeah. Except for the rotary, you know, the spinning bits, but you could tell that the whole darn thing was just one, looked like it had been moulded. I don't know how to explain it, but yeah. So, no, that's interesting. So that was 2009 for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2009. So in 2010, because I would actually hear a male's voice. You know, if you don't shut up, you're going to do some things. All right, so I kept talking, and then there was that the hospital visit in 2000, sorry, in October, and then in December I was taken to by two men. They were in normal suits. It was night time. I was either drugged or under a trance because I could kind of see. It was blurry. I could hear what they were saying, but I had no power to do anything. And they were talking about this place. They took me by helicopter to this place called, when they said it, they laughed. They called it Dreamland, and they laughed.
So they weren't talking about Groom Lake.
I don't know, it was dark, so I don't know. And they took me inside this building, and inside the building was a glass room. And from the ceiling was a kind of like something you'd see in an operating theatre. It was this device. And the glass room was split into two, and the device could go, like, travel along from one side to the other. So they took me in there. I'm lying on this table or bed, and I could feel them pushing at the back of my head. And one of them was saying to me, you know, don't worry, it's okay. You'll feel some warm fluid wash across your face, but nothing to worry about. But I'm thinking at this time there is something to worry about because it doesn't, you know, I knew something was not right. So I could feel this pressure at the back of my head. And then eventually I feel this warm fluid sort of, you know, run down my face. And then, you know, that was it. I blacked out. Sometime later I was guided to get the movie Manchurian Candidate. And there's a scene in the movie where they take the guy to have an implant put in his head. And it's exactly the same room. I could have fell off the chair. But at that time, I actually relived that whole experience. My body was reliving that whole experience of what happened.
Now, do you feel like that was a physical implant or an energy implant?
Physical.
Physical implant, okay, yeah. Because there are, like, I just wanted to let people know, there are other types where there's, like, an energetic field implant as well, to say. Yeah. So that's trippy that's appeared in a movie. But just a quick question. Have you heard of James Casbolt at all?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, no, it's just, I keep on getting this consciousness bug saying, just ask him if he has. Like, you know, somebody just tapping me on the shoulder. I've looked at a bit of his stuff. And I know Anya Briggs. I don't know if you've heard of Anya Briggs.
Yeah, I've heard of Anya. I haven't really spoken to her. But I used to be friends with James.
All right. Now, I just thought I'd ask you. It's just, he was one of the people when I was saying before, I've heard the same stuff, but not the same. Like, just there's overlaps of technologies, how shit's done, and, you know, just trippy stuff like that. But it isn't the same story. It's just, I thought I'd bring that up. Just also, in case you hadn't heard of that, I didn't know if you had, because it might have been something worth looking into for your own peace of mind.
Yeah, there's more I can talk to you about that off.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I don't know him personally. I just thought, I'd bring that up.
But getting back to the other places that I've been, there's quite a few underground bases throughout Australia.
If you want to go, like, let us know where they are too. This would be good.
There's some that I've been to personally and some that I'm aware of through other people that have been there personally.
Do you know of any in Albury?
You know, I get the feeling that there is one down there.
That wouldn't surprise me. That's why I've had that told to me by, I'll tell you off the air, but you'd know of them. But it's just, a lot of people have mentioned this to me, and I've heard of some MyLab stuff through other people that are in the UFO field here as well. So I just didn't know if you'd... Yeah, but go into them, yeah.
Yeah. Is there an airfield in Albury?
There's no military Air Force base for ages. We've got an old... Out at the Weir here, which is about 10Ks out of town, there is an old ammunition place where a lot of stuff was stored there, and at Red Light Hill, which is just a few Ks away, where I've had experiences also, going back to World War II. But right now there is active... one base sort of closer to Wodonga out of the Weir, and there's an actual another two in Wodonga, on the outskirts of Wodonga, which is Albury Wodonga's, you know, like twin cities. Now, the two that I last mentioned, they're actually one base, but they're sort of split up by, it's actually a main road that goes between them going out towards the Alpine District and the Weir. So, but they're actual army stuff. But a lot of people have said, oh, you know, what you've got, you know, could it be military stuff? But from what I know is that they, the military couldn't land out at one of the Wodonga ones, but it's really got to do with tanks and other stuff from the knowledge that I've gleaned. But from what I know, there's nothing for like a few hours away to do with the Air Force or anything sort of flying. On the odd occasion, there will be military helicopters fly to the Wodonga base, I think, from near Wagga, the training camp out that way, where they take the people on the few month training thing. But there's not really, you know, much stuff around, like when you look at it otherwise, sort of people sort of trip out, even with the helicopter sightings I've had, it doesn't match up because it's just not normal shit what, you know, people are seeing around my block when they fly by, which I'm lucky to have them witnesses as well.
And that's a good thing when you have, you know, witnesses. And that's, I guess, once I met my wife, she started to see the things that I was seeing, and the attacks then started upon her with the military. And, sorry, I know we're getting a bit off. Look, there was a remote viewer from the military. He would show up on Tuesday to Friday, we'd see him every night. I would feel him around. My wife would be able to actually see him. And so it'd be Tuesday to Friday, and then there'd be a couple of days. It was like he had a few days off, and then he was back on the Tuesday. They were looking at the results of the beings that were working with them, their attacks. But it was good to have the confirmation that I wasn't the only one.
To have that, definitely, because you can still question yourself every now and then if you're nuts, and then something will kick your ass and go, hey, you know, this is real, you know, it's always, that always happens.
Yeah, okay, so there is a good possibility that there is a big base under the city of Sydney. Good possibility. The technology that they have, well, the possibility of the technology they have down there is to travel between parallel worlds and travel through time, back and forward through timelines. So you can see that they're much further ahead technology than what most people would be aware of.
Oh yeah, what's out of the public domain is hardcore. For example, why I asked about the, if you knew about humans coming back from the future, that some have been altered and some are Nordic looking, is because that's the information that's been exposed to me personally from these beings, and that it's just funny that other people have mentioned it, not exactly the same but similar, and that there was two timelines that I saw that came into one timeline. Now, it was meant to be a good or bad timeline, but what I've been shown now is that it's come together and it's neither good nor bad. There's bits of both, but the timelines of each one aren't what they like were, because now they've come together. What I can't understand, and it still does my head in and I just can't think about it, is that I know that these beings, that humans turn into greys and some of them turn into Nordics, even though the timelines come to one, these dudes still exist. So the past has been changed, but they bloody exist, and I can't get that, and they say it's because I think linear, but I just can't get, well, if I've gone back, you know, like back to the future, you go and fix something back there, then you go back into the future, the shit still exists, even though it's fixed. It's like, that's where it does my head in. So that's why I asked you about that. So, yeah, no, I'm getting off track, but, yeah, you're right. What's in, not in the public domain would be, like, is so far advanced that the common Joe just wouldn't be able to conceive it.
Yeah. Look, with the military, I was taken to a parallel Sydney, It was further ahead into the future. The technology was much, much different. There was total freedom. There was no cars. There was no pollution. They had tour guides because it was a galactic community. The tour guides had handheld devices that could bring up any information about any of the places in the city, and they could teleport groups of people to that place.
So this civilization was part of a galactic community, as in the sense it was public knowledge that we're going out into space, people from space were coming to visit us.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. But what got me was I actually saw a family member there, but she was further, like she was about 24 in that parallel world.
So was that a bit for you to take in? Well, not that it isn't hard to take in anyway, but that would have added to the bang.
Yeah. I found it interesting because if there's another person in another parallel world, well, therefore we've got to be existing in other parallel worlds that are on different timelines.
Nah, this is where I don't talk about much of this shit because I do people's heads in. I understand everything you're saying, mate. I do.
Yeah. Look, only that if I hadn't experienced it, I wouldn't really fully understand it. Yeah. But in 2011, every night I'd get woken up, there'd be craft outside my house, and it wasn't there for, you know, it was part of the military. I'd wake up and tell them where to go. Then it was March 2011. There was a whole night of harassment. It started around 10 o'clock, and it was like listening to a looped recording. And it was a male voice, and it ran from about 10 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the morning.
That would have shit you up the wall, wouldn't it?
It did.
It's like the ringing of the ears.
Yeah. But what he was saying was, if you don't shut up, if you don't shut up, we're going to kill you. If you don't shut up, we're going to program the people around you to shut down when you talk about the MyLab stuff. And if you don't shut up, we're going to take your daughter away from you.
So this would go on all night?
Until 5 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, how are they going to possibly take my daughter away from me? You know, wouldn't allow it to happen. But what they showed me was, they showed me how they can implant false memories.
So like screen memory type stuff?
Yeah, like...
It's basically putting a memory in your head that didn't happen, but it seems as real as...
Oh, it seems as real as anything.
Yeah.
Like I was given a memory of an event that it never happened, and I checked with the people that were involved in this memory, but I tell you, it felt as real as anything. And I had to really, I guess, fight with it to get past it. But they said to me, that's just an example of what I can do. And that's what they did to my daughter. They implanted a false memory, and now for about it's been over 2.5 years, I've had no contact with her. Yeah. So.
That's pretty screwed up, man.
It is. But it's been an experience. And I'll talk more about that off camera.
So... you were saying before the show you think there's another, like, two in Sydney bases.
Yeah, there is. Sorry. I know we're sort of...
Yeah, no, it's all right. Like, yeah. I'll get you back on sometime to go in more in depth in other areas and sort of elaborate on some things if you feel happy with that sometime too, because
yeah,
there's
sure,
so much... We'll go for about another 10 minutes, but I'd really love to have you on because I think it's something that needs to be taken at its pace, how you're doing it's really well. Yeah, it's a lot to take in, I know, for the viewers as well, but it's worth it.
Yeah, sure. There's a possibility of another base under Bankstown Airport. And I feel that it probably links up with the Underground Rail Network that runs up to the Blue Mountains.
Yep. So you think that both of those Sydney labs, underground bases, would be connected, and then again that one of them would be connected straight up to the Blue Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, my grandfather worked on the Snowy River Hydro Project, but he also talked about building a tunnel from Canberra to Newcastle.
Geez, now that would be one hell of a tunnel, wouldn't it?
Yeah. The entrance is in Newcastle. But I've heard through high up in the Air Force, high security in the Air Force actually mentioned the same thing. So there was confirmation from two sources.
That's the newer one to me. As I said to you, there's sort of a confirmation for me with one of the other ones you mentioned too.
Mm-hmm.
And that was with somebody overseas that, that's just trippy stuff. So what else do you know? Like, is there anything in Melbourne that you know about or that area? Because it seems to me, going back a fair way, sort of the Australian Illuminati faction to myself, in my opinion, was, even though you've got Canberra, I believe that was sort of the main sort of hub for them. Is there anything you know about that way, and if that's connected to any of the other bases up this way? And do you know if there's anything in Canberra as well? Because everyone knows about Pine Gap, but I think there's a lot. If you know about it, usually that's sort of a cover for the other main shit going on. You know, like, if you know of Pine Gap, that's sort of, it's like Area 51. They want everyone's attention diverted to Area 51, not thinking of...
Mm-hmm. Exactly. There's another one north of Newcastle. There's another one north of Newcastle that was constructed, or there's an entrance that was constructed probably about 6 years ago now.
Yeah. So it's a newbie.
Yeah. There is one at Canberra, or there's a big one at Canberra.
Most of the Parliament House, what people don't know too, is that that's actually, most of that's bloody underground anyway.
Yeah, and there's the flagpole is not just the flagpole, it's something else.
Would you like to explain on that if you want to?
Yes, this information come from someone that was high up in the Air Force. And they were saying that the flagpole is not just a flagpole, it's an antenna.
Go for the underground there? Or something else?
Well, I went to Canberra and I thought, I'll have a look at this, you know. So I managed to get up on top of the Parliament House and have a look. And there's like a centre pole that runs directly with the top of the pyramid that's on top of the Parliament House.
Yeah, it's Illuminati symbolism all over that bloody thing, like a lot of other places.
So, and underneath the top of the pyramid is like a big open area, and there's a water fountain. But in the middle of the water fountain, there's this square hole that matches up with the top of the pyramid and that centre post. It's like an alignment. So whatever's underneath the
square thing, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, now I've had a lot of people say things to me about that, and there's a train system apparently going to Pine Gap, and it just keeps on coming up. These people don't know each other, and it's just stuff that I don't even intend to talk about, and it's brought up. That's when I usually give something to it, because something just keeps on bringing it up. So was there anything in Melbourne where you know of?
Look, I lived there for about 2 years.
Yeah, I was down there for 4 years.
Yeah. I actually met up with a lady who was working for, not directly for the same place, but, and she said to my wife at the time, if she asked if I was worked in the military, which I thought was unusual because there is no, like, I guess, normal military connection. Like,
so there is no connection in your background to the military, like in your family at all?
No.
All right.
Yeah. Only through my grandfather, whoever he worked for.
World War One or Two or something. Yeah, mine go back to World War One and Two, but then after that there's been bloody nothing, yeah.
Yeah. But my grandfather was also in the Masons and the Sonic, you know.
Yeah. So what did that chick in Melbourne say to you? Like, after that military stuff, like, what happened from then on?
Well, I don't even know why she said it. She just asked if I was in the military, you know. And at that time, I wasn't aware of anything like that, so I just said no, you know. So I'm not sure what gave her the idea that I was.
Did you get to know that chick at all, or did she come up, you know, has she popped up again anywhere, or...?
Not really.
So there was nothing you sort of found out about in Melbourne?
No. At that time, I wasn't aware of, my lab or anything like that.
All right, trippy stuff.
Yeah. Do you have any other questions, or are we going to leave?
No, what we might do is we'll wrap it up there, because this is going to be a lot for... Even those who are... I know there's going to be a lot of people that will listen to this a couple of times, because that's what you've got to do with this type of stuff. Once you get into super soldiers, MyLab, the military part, or, you know, the government behind the government part, and then into the ET part, the parallel world part, you know, this is all stuff that I think people are going to have to take in. If there's anybody that's got any questions or comments, just email me too, because... Even on past shows or whatever. But I think what we'll do, we'll wrap it up there. And I appreciate you coming on, because I know it takes a lot of guts to come out and talk about this type of thing. And this isn't just the average, not that any of this is average in experienced terms, but this is where you get to play with the big boys, because you're getting into hardcore shit. You know, it's the reason, it's sort of the opening of the knowledge behind why things are the way they are. And like I say to anybody, you'll be tested and trialled when trying to reach your own enlightenment, because there are beings out there that can pick up on that intention and will try to stop it.
Can I just add to that?
Yeah, mate. Bloody oath.
Yep. You've hit the nail on the head. The other side of trying to prevent humanity from moving to a higher level of consciousness, call it ascension, call it whatever you want, it's a higher
form of consciousness.
Yep. And that's why they've got programs in place that are about causing distraction, disconnection of who you really are.
Exactly, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I keep getting shit, but like I've told them, I'm not going to stop. And I know that's why they've come after you too. Not just from the young age, but they're going to try and put roadblocks in your way. And it's because we're doing what we're meant to be doing. And that's how I said to a lady today, you know what you're doing is right when this happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a test, but this is meant to happen because you're on the right path and they don't want it. So, yeah. All right, mate. You got any more last words?
No. Look. We could talk all night. So.
Yeah, bloody oath. No, I'll get you back on real soon and we'll talk about that off air. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Brad. And
thank you.
Yeah, we'll talk soon. Cheers, everyone.
All right, bye.
Bye.